I Pop Life Podcast. Today is I swear to God, I don't know. I'm gonna say 15th. I'm gonna wing it.
15th.
Oh shit, I nailed that shit. All right, cool. Half of May is over. Happy belated Mother's Day to all the
Thank you.
out there. Inka, yourself, Mona, of course. Amanda, Julian's wife, had her first Mother's Day, which was Sunday. It was
Oh, that's so special. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to her and everybody else. You know, the moms and the second moms and the church moms and the
And the stepmoms and the godmothers and
your mom's best friend who was like a mom and the neighbor who
the auntie that took you in with you. Your mama was getting high in the street.
Exactly. Yeah, her too. And
Foster moms, grandmothers,
the mother who
all
used to,
that.
the lady who used to take watch you after school. That lady for me was Miss Mitchell. She used to watch me
Shout
after
out,
school
Miss
when I
Minnie.
was at work. Shout out to Miss Mitchell. And I always like to tell this story too, real quick, about moms and black folks and how we do. I think I told this on the show before, but I'm gonna repeat it anyway. So when my grandmother passed away, you know, she was a, you know, she was a usher and all the, you know, so it was a big funeral. A lot of people came and, you know, she had been in the same community forever. And so, you know, we know that story. So, but there's millions of people there and we sit in the front row and this woman walks up, you know, you walk up to the mic and you tell your story, about the deceased. And this woman walks up to the mic. I had never seen her before in my life. Not that I remember. And she's really emotional, like she's really, you know, sad. I was like, oh, maybe this is somebody, you know, my grandmother knew from church or whatever. And she starts telling this story about how when she was a kid, I don't know what age, but very young, probably 8, 9 or something like that, her parents couldn't take her because it was, I think it was 3 or 4 of them, and they literally just couldn't afford it, so they went somewhere to get better jobs. And they went to my grandmother and said, can you take her in until we get back? We're gonna go wherever they went and get these jobs and save some cash. And my grandma was like, okay, cool. And she took this woman in. I don't remember this woman's name. I need to ask my opinion about it. And she was just so, she was like, and your grandma, she treated me just like I was going to. I had to do my homework. I had chores. I was like, she was like their sibling because it was
Yeah.
three of them. My father, his brother, and Penny. And she stayed with them for quite a while. Like, I believe it was like at least a year or maybe more. She was a part of the family. And then when that, her parents, you know, got things squared, they came for her. And then she, you know, went to them. So it was just kind of like that community thing of like, you never really know. Like, somebody, you took this person in, took care of them, treated them just like everybody else, same
Yeah.
shit. And then when they, you know, got going, so that is the mom thing too. Like, and I know that story is not unique.
It's
I know
not.
that's
We
not unique,
certainly had
especially with black folks.
a lady that lived with my grandmother my entire life, Cousin Helen. She passed away. We found out Cousin Helen was a lady who kind of got abandoned. She was on like a bus trip, ended up in my grandmother's city. My grandmother took her in, and I promise you, she was an old lady and also died in the house. Not related to us. She did not know
Cousin
who this
Helen,
lady was,
no
but
blood relation.
Cousin Helen.
But it was what it
Old time.
was. That's a
Was what it was.
cousin. Yeah,
That's my cousin.
so you know, peace and love to all those moms that did those type of things and way heavier things than that, even to keep those families together. So
Absolutely.
we're back to do a Pop Life podcast, a spring Pop Life podcast, and then we'll do another this summer. There was another one after Thanksgiving.
Yes, Naima is not, I think she's going to try and join, but she's the professor is very busy, you guys. We're trying
I
to
know
keep it together.
graduation is coming up and, you know, some last minute school stuff. So she's hectic right
Last
now.
one.
But if she doesn't make it, she's with us in spirit. So we're going to jump right in. We haven't done this for a minute, so there's a few things we're going to talk about. First thing I want to mention is I think I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Peace to Khalees, because
Beautiful young lady.
oh my God, her Instagram is, first of all, I don't know what the process is, but it's amazing that she's, I don't know if she still is or these are older videos, but her Instagram has her in Africa for now, at least like probably like 2 months. She's been on for quite a while. She's
Yeah.
been to the
I
country.
think it's some sort of initiative with her farm. She's doing some
Yeah.
partnerships, kind of across the globe. And really interestingly, a friend of mine who has a kind of a nonprofit that is bringing Black farmers to food deserts. Mm. She is in contact with Khalees and working out on the West Coast too. So a lot of offshoots from what Khalees is doing.
Yeah, great. I mean, she's very serious about her farming and her agricultural, and she also has a skincare line.
Yes, a lot she makes from like the goats and the materials from her all natural farm. Stuff. Yeah.
Her skin is like perfection.
She is literally luminescent.
I mean, like she's from technically the Upper West Side. She grew up in like the 90s, but that's kind of like on the line of Harlem. You know what I'm saying? So like, but she used to live in town for quite a while, so I used to see her around. And she was fine then. This is back when she was making records, but she's just grown into like, man, damn. Nas, man, come on, bro. So peace to Khalees anyway. I want to jump right into this one thing. Well, actually, I'm gonna hold the Black Twitter doc in case Nye jumps in, because she was on it. And let's see if she could, if she jumps in. If not, we'll go at that a little later. But I want to talk about this one thing that definitely have brought tight. I was on the line, but I have since come to not to the tight side, but I understand why people were so tight now. And that's about the teacher who was getting his hair taken down by his students in his class. Inka was tight too. I forgot. Inka was very upset too. I don't know his name. I don't think he even said his name ever, but he was a teacher. I don't know where it was. It looked like an all Black class. It looked like to be middle school or high school kids.
Either like eighth grade-ish middle school or like ninth, 10th grade high school, somewhere in there.
Yeah, not seniors, but they were, you know, they weren't kids.
Children nonetheless.
Yes. And he posted a video of himself getting he had braids in his hair. He's getting his hair taken down because, according to him, he had been very hectic that week. It was school and stuff like that. He had an appointment to get his hair washed and redone, and he didn't have the time to take it down himself because he couldn't, like, reach the back. I'm just telling you what he said, Inka.
Our role was involuntary. Sorry. Okay.
So he's got these girls taking his hair down. There's about three or four of them, maybe. They're working on his hair, taking it down while he's, like, grading class papers. Because it was after school. It was after the last class of the day.
And it's like the last 10 minutes before dismissal, yes.
Yes. So he posted it on the gram. I don't know why we're going to get into why he was doing it. I don't know why he posted it thinking that she was some fly shit. But he posted it, and it was quick and swift. People jumped all over, but there surprisingly were a lot of people who were defending him and saying, you know, he's a good teacher. Stop rolling your eyes, Inka. He was a good teacher. He has this relationship with his students, and teachers spend more time with the kids than their parents do. And why are you mad at him? And he trusts them, and they trust him, and so on and so on. Then there was another video that came out later with, I think it was one of the same girls was doing his nails. While he was in class, he was grading papers, and she was giving him a clear coat. And, you know, he ended up getting fired not soon after he posted this thing. And it caused a ruckus, like I said, because there was a lot of people defending him. Then there were some teachers also and administrators also came on and was like, this is totally out of line because these are young girls and you're advertently or inadvertently playing with their emotions. And it could lead, even if it doesn't lead to other things, which I don't even want to think about, it's the fact that they're stirring up those feelings in them because then when he got fired, he posted he was reading texts from some of the young ladies in his class, and they were calling him bestie.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I believe that those were emails. And at that point,
okay, they were emails. Okay,
at that point, technically, he had not been fired. I'm under the understanding that he was suspended.
Okay, he was on the roll.
Yes, pending investigation, which is normal protocol for firing. Firing doesn't usually. I know in the movies, it's people slamming things.
Get you out of here!
Fired. You know, give me your badge. That's not used.
Give me your gun.
I just wanted to say that. I found that they were not texts, but apparently they were emails. But then I saw, and then I saw it actually written out as though they had handwritten notes and they were like images of the text. Now, again, with all of the AI shit and the sources, yeah, you didn't know. I don't know. But he did go on to say he had gotten these messages from his students. So,
yeah. And he was crying and he was like boohooing. It's like, you know.
Well, no.
Okay. I'm gonna let you take it from here.
He was in fact not crying at all. He was trying to squeeze a tear out. And if you've ever had like a manipulative preteen, you know what a motherfucker looks like when they're trying to squeeze a tear out. So listen, I think we've all, you know, those of us in our group chat know how I feel. But let me clear this.
Both of you have daughters. So, and that's why I had to fall back, because I have a son. And so I think my perspective just might be a little different. You both have daughters. You're both very close to your daughters. So you have a different look at it than I do.
I just got a couple things. Number one, what I will teach my daughter when she's able to understand is no grown man is going to ask you for help. Period. Unless he's dying and he needs you to call 911 or find another adult, there is no reason you are helping a grown man with anything.
Mm.
Anything personal. If he's like, hey, pass out these papers, that's cool. That is a thing that makes sense for the environment that you're in.
There is no favor
that requires you to touch him. Period. Mm. That is a grooming behavior that is getting you comfortable and primed for the next step.
Mm.
No grown man. I don't give a fuck who he is. Secondly, it's just inappropriate. There is a difference between building a rapport with your students so that they trust you and you're able to teach them, and grooming them to be friends, or as he put it, like teaching them what to expect from a man in like dating situations and male
friendships. He said that?
Because he said something like that, like, I'm helping them to see what, you know, a good
dude. Oh, man, supposed like. To speak to them and all that stuff. That shit.
That's not your job, my nigga. Your job is science. You are a science teacher. Be at that motherfucking board, pointing at that periodic table. None of that requires, there is no reason that you needed these girls who are young, impressionable children, who are developing fast, who is going through puberty, who probably have a little bit of a crush on you. There's no reason for them to be within arm's length of you at any motherfucking time in that school. You want to impact those girls? Teach them what it looks like to treat them exactly the same as the boys in that class. That's my issue. It's inappropriate. They should not be touching you at all, unless they are teaching cosmetology. And even then,
he ran with that though, because he said the dark-skinned girl seemed kind of like one of the main girls, pretty girl. He said that she wants to be a cosmetologist. So he was giving her...
You know how much hair is in that classroom that's on them teenagers' heads?
I'm just telling you what he said. He said that he was giving her a chance to practice her craft. That was the same girl that was doing his nails.
The children can't.
Tell me what he said.
You are in a classroom. You need to be teaching something that is part of that classroom. I understand the need for community. I understand that teachers go above and beyond. I even understand that, you know, sometimes you got to do a kid's hair in the class, but that is a different, that's like keeping a child from being bullied. That's keeping them, you know, hygienic.
Usually a woman teacher does that.
Yeah. Or it's like, that's different. That's a different kind of help. You're there to kind of guide that student to make sure that they can, you know, be with their classmates and not have this distraction of like unkempt hair. You know what I'm saying? You had opportunities as a grown ass person to pay that extra $15 to, you know, for the takedown for your braids or whatever. Like,
said he was running late.
They should not be grooming you.
Said he was running late.
He said he couldn't, they were filming something in the class for the school district or whatever. He was going to be on camera in the school that day. So he didn't want to take his hair out and just have like, you know, a messy afro or whatever, but he still had the appointment that afternoon. That sounds like a you problem, and it's inappropriate to ask for any kind of grooming favor from your fucking classmates. Like, there's a line there, and you crossed it. And also, my last thing is, don't put my child on your personal page for content. Do not do that. Not cool. I don't give a fuck what she doing, who you are. This is your personal social media. This is your TikTok page. I don't want to see Ivy's face in your fucking TikToks. That's all I got.
Yep. Go ahead, Sean.
So I'm going to come at this from a couple of different perspectives. Initially, I'm going to come at this as a man, right? With this is not about my daughter or my children. This is about a man who loves his community. This is about a man who is a part of his community. It is our duty and it is our job to create the environment of expectations for young people. And I think that when you are, so what he's doing here is he's really shifting what the boundary system is for those young girls, right? Because he is a teacher and because he is a man of significance and a person of importance in their life and a person of authority, right? He has to be very mindful of the fact that he's recalibrating their process as to what is and is not appropriate for personal space boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. We know to have these conversations with our very young kids, right? So what ends up happening is you don't really have those conversations with an 11-year-old or a 12-year-old, right? And then they sort of get into this phase where they are physically developing, they are emotionally developing, they are hormonally changing, right? So you're talking about now sexual urges. They are processing and making their way in this space. You have to be incredibly mindful of that as a man. And to pretend that you don't understand that dynamic, I think is disingenuous. I had a crush on my seventh grade teacher.
I did too. Miss Glenn, she was baddie, boy.
Miss Little. Miss
Shout Hathaway. Out to Mr. Miles.
Fine as frog hair. Fine as frog hair. And you know those things, right? You can sense those things, right? So to pretend that you don't understand that dynamic is just, it's disingenuous. And even when you have the most earnest of attempts, even when, I'm not saying this dude is a creep. What I'm saying is this dude is providing a space where these young women can be preyed upon because he's moving those boundaries. Because you know what the next step is? The next step is you and Denasia come to my house and do my hair. Right?
And I'll pay y'all.
No. I'm not gonna pay y'all. Y'all gonna come. No, y'all gonna come, y'all gonna hang out, right? And then the next step is, well, you just come by yourself. See what I'm saying? So you see how it incrementally, right? It's habitual line step, right? It's like a street nigga. You know why street niggas slap shit out of you when you say something out of pocket in front of people? Because they know you gonna keep etching along.
Yeah. If I don't stop this shit today,
right? Yeah. Now, this is gonna keep happening, right? Yep. So we'll move that aside, and then we'll deal with just the professionalism part of this. It's fucking grossly unprofessional. It's wildly inappropriate in a professional setting for you to be doing this, and to have this sort of relationship also indicates to me that this is a person who is not enforcing the dynamic in a way that is going to lead to those young people's growth, right? That he doesn't have a real concept of what those boundaries are and how they need to be adapted and how they need to be put into practice. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And we saw that with like the video and the attempted manipulation of using this. And another thing is, and I want to remove the girls from this, because this is not just about the girls, because we're seeing an increasingly high number of young boys being sexually assaulted and sexually molested by teachers.
True.
We're seeing that increasingly. And it is grossly inappropriate mm-hmm. in the same way. And
around that age you're talking about, that 10, right 11 sweet spot.
Yes, because listen, Generation X did not watch fucking Dudley and the Bicycle Man to pretend.
Yo, when you made that reference in the group chat, I fell the fuck out. Because
nigga.
That is a special type of old
Dudley
nigga
got no shirt on.
Remember
Dudley ain't got different no shirt on.
A very special episode of different strokes.
They clearly need to bring back a very special episode. Because so many of y'all millennials or maybe, you know, these Gen Zers, you don't really understand it. And I get it, you know, people are in an attempt to, as the structure of school has changed, right? Like, so has the dynamic. And everyone wants to kind of be a part of, and hey, how do we reach the kids? We meet them where they are, and so we use the slang and we do all of these sorts of things.
But
there should never be a young, and another thing too, that also indicates to me that he's probably got those kids in there with a door closed. Okay,
you walk by a principal, be like, what the fuck is going on?
Right. So again, you are pushing their boundaries of what is and isn't appropriate, right? So it's okay for me to be in here with the door closed when you as the man should be saying, nah, that door stay open, all right? You stand in plain view. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
it's okay for you to call me bestie. It's okay for you to paint my nails when the other students are working. Like, that's showing a little bit of favoritism. Like, all that shit is not okay.
Like somebody said, all we got for favoritism, nigga, was you handed out the papers. If you was
nigga, I got to write on the board.
You got to write on the board. You got maybe you handed back some papers. You was in charge of textbooks. Go get the textbook. You got to give out the textbook.
You wheeled the TV over to the plug.
Nigga, if you was, first of all, I was always
AV club. Kid,
so I was on TV duty all the time. But. With all jokes aside, right, like the reality is that I think this lesson for him is that as a young man, you have to understand what that means. You have to be very cognizant of your position of power. You have to be very cognizant of the students and the kids that you're around, because you are setting the example. And if the example is I can just do all of these things to men and their expectation is that, then I just think that that's a very poor example to lead with. And listen, when people say, you know, oh, he shouldn't have been fired or whatever the case might be, like, listen, the reality is when people make complaints, you don't know what complaint this is. This might have been a first complaint. This might have been a 15th complaint. I kind of get the sense that he's a habitual line stepper with the social media shit.
He was wild comfortable with this shit.
He has probably.
And that's the thing. Somebody uploaded the code of conduct from the district that he was in, and it explicitly says, "Do not post kids on social media." So even if it's just that, you out of here.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say that those are what we call zero tolerance policies. Those are absolute. This is not up for discussion. Mm-hmm. You have violated a policy that is so significant that you are going to be terminated.
You got to go.
It's what we like to call a got to go situation.
Yeah, exactly. There ain't no question.
This is on today. Got to go.
Yeah. Back your shit now, nigga. Like, it ain't no.
So that's why. So what you do is, you know, this process, what they've done here was very admirable, right? Like, you don't get super, super emotional. You make it very technical. You make it very plain. And, you know, hopefully he learns from this. Hopefully hopefully he is not a predator. And hopefully he is able to take this lesson as a tool in moving forward in his career. I would not hire him in school. Everything about his behavior to me indicates that this is not somebody that I would trust or feel confident around young people in an educational setting.
If your shit is under review right now, for posting kids on social media. Why the fuck would the first thing that you do be, let me go to socials with a giant microphone and post what these kids are sending me?
Reading they shit.
You not learning shit. Get away from my kids, B.
Yeah. So, to me, you know, thanks for coming out. God bless. Good night.
Good night. Go learn a trade.
Lead a kid. Yeah. You understand? Go. You need to go work in the office with Susie and Karen.
I don't want them around us neither. No. Yeah. You need to go learn how to be a fucking electrician. Go be an apprentice somewhere and work on. Go buy a house, nigga.
Nigga said, nigga, attics and crawl spaces for you only, nigga. No,
go build a house.
Nigga, always working by himself.
Working the truck, nigga.
Be outside. Exactly. Yeah.
So, next thing I want to mention is,
I want to say this. Somebody pointed this out. It's the last thing I would say. Somebody said, if it was so innocent, why he had them boys playing in his hair?
Yeah, that's real shit too. I can't argue that. I'm gonna mention, because it's a new story. So Clay from Love Is Blind, I know you don't watch this, bro. Clay from Love Is Blind is, I guess, dating, seeing, talking to, whatever the term you want to use, Selena Powell, who is a known IG model and OnlyFans girl.
Is this the one that the rappers are kind of passing around?
Yes. Yes, she is. Yes, she is. So she's gotten to Clay, and Clay posted pictures on his or her IG, one of their IGs, or maybe both. Of them like kissing and snuggling and canoodling together, and you know, a lot of people on the Twitter sphere are saying like, that's bullshit and blah blah blah. Me myself, personally, I don't see the problem. What's the problem? He's 31. He's single. Okay. Caught OnlyFans joint. I don't think he's trying to marry her. He's having some fun.
And so I saw a comment where somebody asked like, was he going to be like a daddy soon, or is this? And she posted, "They're trying."
Oh, he's tripping if he if now yes if he I figured he was flooding the club, but if he's if he's trying to impregnate her, he's tripping. But I said to somebody, I think it was on Twitter today. I said, "Oh no, it was in the group chat." I said, "This is what it shows me is." Because we go back to Love Is Blind, you remember, he didn't really understand what the show was about. He was like, wait, you really get married at the end of this shit? Like, so like you know what I'm saying? He was going on the show for clout.
Oh, Lord.
And now you can say he's right or wrong for doing that. But he was going on the show for clout. And in my opinion, he got the clout that he wanted because he got with Selena Powell. Like, those are the girls he was trying to get with. I'm not saying that's right, but that was his path to go. And I'm like, okay, the nigga achieved his goal. Like he got IG models, and you. So I mean, no harm, no foul. He's not cheating on AD. He's not with her.
You know, I'm here for the girls. I don't think it diminishes your value, capacity, any of that to be wifed if you've had sexual partners. If your shit is public, I don't care nothing about that.
Yeah, who has
my issue is Clay said he was on a journey, right? I'm doing the therapy. I'm trying to be a better man.
The girl in the group chat said this.
I'm still in love with the lady I fucked it up with, right? She's supposed to be the love of my life. Listen.
It's a long time
he
ago.
Is clearly, that was a lie, because he is wilding. And how I know he's wilding is because his mother had to put out an Instagram PSA. Jesus is going to make some stuff happen for you until you can catch the lesson. Stop sending me that shit. Stop putting me in it. I have done all I can do for him. If you're not going to be on the journey, I don't know what to say. I think like having to have your mom call you out publicly tells me you're doing way more bullshit than you're copping to.
Yeah.
And I think you need a little more time on that journey before you're trying to jump into another relationship. With a woman in public, any of that.
Well, I'm definitely not going to say anything against his mom, and I understand that she's a black mom, and she's, you know, people are sending her shit on, and she's like, I don't even be doing this social media stuff. The hell is this? So I'm not.
She said, turn your attention to your local food bank.
Exactly. So I'm with her 200%. I'm not going to dispute that.
Play. Leave us out of it, baby.
I think he was on a journey, but honestly, and like, you know, the male ego. I think that nigga was really hurt when he found out AD fucked that white guy from the show. I think because he didn't know.
Confirmation that he fucked her.
She went over to the crib. She's cheesing. He's like, oh yeah, he cooked me food. He really could cook it. Oh, he's a cutie. And yeah, we had a nice time.
That don't mean they had sex, Jeff. That's only in your mind.
They had sex, but okay. Why wouldn't they have sex? Right. Why wouldn't they?
Why would they?
Why wouldn't they? She came over. She said she went out with the nigga twice. She went out with the first time, ooh, and then it led to going to the crib.
That don't mean shit.
All right.
I've been to lots of cribs and nothing happened. Just for me personally.
But the way she was talking about the nigga on the reunion, she was like, oh yeah, he's a cutie. I forget his name now. But
Jimmy. But she.
No, not Jimmy. It was the guy with the glass who left early.
Oh, Trevor.
There's a Trevor, the one who had he left early. Like, he was telling both girls the same thing, allegedly. Remember? He was telling
Amy. Oh, Matt.
Matt. That's who she was.
Right, talking. Right, right. That don't mean she smashed. Like, you old nigga. Your mentality is very black or white. I'm sure.
Yeah, you smash. Well, anyway. I'll just say, I don't understand the beef. Like, I don't understand the issue that people have with this single black guy who got with somebody and they having seemingly a good time.
It's not no beef. He just look crazy out here in these streets.
Hoes need love too.
Hoes definitely need love too.
He need love too. Come on now. They just cause they ain't, you know, they hold on me, you know, they don't need no comfort at times.
Shout out to Miss Margarita.
Yes, yeah, I loved her. I loved her. She was a great, great character. I want to mention the canceled portal.
Oh my god!
So they
put did they shut it down? Please, yeah, say they shut it down.
Okay. They shut it down. Yeah. So they did this air quotes portal, which is basically like a live FaceTime between Dublin, Ireland, and New York City. I think it was in the Times Square area, the portal in New York. I don't know Dublin, so I don't know what, but in a very populated area in Dublin. And at first it seemed like a cool thing. You could walk by and people from Dublin would be standing in the picture and you could wave at them, they could see you and wave back and post signs up and, you know, but as you know, New Yorkers just want to do, we take it too goddamn far. You got girls up there flashing their titties. I bet some dicks got thrown out there in the mix too.
Well, Ireland allegedly was inappropriate first.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The
images of, like, the Twin Towers on fire.
Yeah. Like, Ireland made it a fuck New York thing.
Yeah.
And then New York made it just a pornographic crash thing. So it was just, nobody was in the right. I don't know.
Destined to happen.
Yes, it was destined to happen. I don't know
whose idea.
I don't know whose idea was this was. I mean, in theory, it's kind of cool. In theory, but in reality, you should have picked two other places, first of all. Not New York.
Speaking of Europe and America and the kind of little bit of a beef that we have. So within the diaspora, there's always, you know, Black Americans kind of versus everybody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a TikTok video a few weeks ago where there's a podcast, I think, of two Black British women talking about how Black Americans don't know shit and, like, you know, kind of disparaging all of us. A response video was created to that by another Black American woman who is basically like, we don't think about y'all. We don't want y'all food.
Damn.
Y'all are not innovators of anything. We not checking y'all for fashion. Like, y'all, you know, basically, like, girl, y'all make all these videos and content about us. I promise we don't give a
fuck. We don't even be thinking about y'all, and that's it.
Y'all are not even on the radar. We didn't realize black British people exist as like their own thing because y'all claim like, you know, your other ethnicities, Jamaican, Nigerian, Ghanaian,
whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, we don't even hear y'all call yourselves black. Mm-hmm. So, like, what are you even talking about? So there was this, like, this other girl came back at her and was saying how, like, black British food is, like, delicious and they have a goosey soup and fufu and, like, just named all this shit that wasn't specific to Britain. Mm-hmm. And so it was this pylon on type of her that happened for weeks and weeks, and she no longer even has like a TikTok account. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that because, like, please stop trying to deny that Black Americans are the culture creators. We have a culture.
Y'all over there rapping because of us. Y'all rapping because of us.
Everything that's not original definitely feels like a parody, and we're in a unique position to also be an ethnic group.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just racial, that's not just, you know, from another country transported here. Like, we created shit from nothing. So a lot of what y'all are trying to disparage us for, you kind of like too.
Exactly.
And it was crazy because the girl that was saying all this stuff about Black British people being like the one and the innovator was like wearing a do-rag. So we were like, baby,
but where that shit on your head, where you got that from?
But
y'all gave us brother
in it slaps. I will say in it goes, but yeah, if that's your whole contribution, I don't know what to tell you, babes. Like,
peace to my man Rap Man, who's a British guy who he has a movie coming out. I think he signed through Rock Nation. They manage him. Has a movie coming out in a week or two on Netflix called Supercell, which looks like it'd be like a black superhero kind of thing. He's a really talented guy. Like, I'm gonna send you one of his things. I know Brian gonna watch it, but I send it to you because he's done these kind of short films. But he did Boo Story, which is a full length film, and but I'm gonna send you this other one called Shadow Story. He's a really talented guy. Let's talk.
Are you watching X-Men 97?
You know, I'm not, and I'm playing myself. I watched the first episode, and I know it's fire. I know it's fire. I just haven't got, I've been caught up. I've been watching basketball because of the playoffs.
Oh, right.
By the time the game is over, it's like 11:30, 12, 1. And I'm like, shit, I ain't going to get to it tonight. And it just keeps getting away from me, but I'm going to get to it.
All right.
Definitely get to it. I want to mention, what was I going to say? Oh, Drake and Kendrick. So we're not going to get into the details about, you know, because it's been beat down ad nauseum, right? I mean, Drake, yeah, it's so, what's interesting about this thing to me, because it's way bigger than a battle now, bar over bar. That's not even what it's about now. This is the first battle, rap battle, you know, real rap battle, not some little shit, that was fully covered by social media. Because even, you know, Jay and Nas was before social media, and even Drake and Meek was earlier in social media. It wasn't what...
And the Meg and Nicki thing wasn't a real...
Yeah, and
Meg never said anything to Nicki.
Yeah, and Nicki made bad records and whatever. But, but this is the first one that's been fully covered by social media where you have, like the news, View, or like, you know, Chris Cuomo or some shit talking about it, you know, John Stewart. So it's
local news, even.
Well, I was gonna say global news. And so then you get spinoffs like the song you were just singing, BBL Drizzy, which is like now Oscar Mayer used that on their Instagram the other day. They said BBL Glizzy, and they had two hot dogs and they spelled BBL Glizzy with yellow mustard. So it's taken on this total life of its own, and Kendrick out-draked Drake in that he dropped multiple records and stepped on Drake's records. So you can get a chance to even enjoy like Family Matters, which is actually an amazing record, but you didn't really get a chance to enjoy it because he just dropped. And then he really Drake
20 minutes later.
Yeah, exactly. Then he really Drake because what Drake usually does in these battles is he'll end up just dropping like a fire-ass hot record. And that kind of kills it because it's a hit. So you start hearing it more, hearing it more, hearing it more. Another person gets drowned out. And that's what Kendrick did. He dropped Not Like Us
is a fucking hit.
Which I think is going to be his biggest record to date. Right now, his biggest record to date is Humble. I think it's 2 billion streams or something like that. I think
this is already close to a billion, if not there. At least on Spotify.
Number one. This is number one on the chart. This is going to probably do 5 billion, maybe 10. Who knows? This thing is gone because it's going to be in. They're playing it now in commercials, people using graduations and their weddings. Like
Mayor Brandon Scott, who is the Democratic incumbent nominee for mayor of Baltimore, walked out to that in his acceptance ceremony last night.
So it's just taking on a life of its own, and you can't stop the momentum. And that's usually what Drake does. And so, you know, props to Kendrick. I'm a Kendrick fan too. It ain't like I don't like one. I mean, Kendrick's amazing as well. So it's been, and it sounds cliche, but it has been good for hip hop as well.
It's been so much fun. As someone who is largely indifferent to both of them at this point, like I'm kind of a fan of a little bit of what each of them do. It kind of brought me back into like, oh, I should listen to these records.
Because apparently this
beef has been going on way before we knew about it. The dissection has caused me to go back and kind of listen to some more. So,
yes, from a lot of subliminal ideas. Yeah, so it's, you know, so it's just that, you know, it's just kind of annoying sometimes to see because what's happening is because it's gotten so big that there's either maybe younger and just kind of very ancillary group who doesn't really know Kendrick's music at all, really. And so they're kind of in it because that's the thing to do, right? And so, like the other day, it was yesterday actually. Somebody was like, "Name Kendrick's best quotables," right? And I was going through the comments, and half the comments were from Not Like Us. I'm like, "So you don't really know Kendrick? You just know that song, you know? Right. You know that song." So you got a lot of people like that, jumping in, and giving you their opinion, but they don't really know the history or the background of each artist and how it kind of got to this point.
I really love that the tertiary effect of the beef being that it's exposing these non-white people who claim to be experts on a very black genre of music.
I hate that.
I love that it's coming for Vlad. It's coming for people on like the Bleacher Report and people who are running these accounts that are very black presenting, but very not white inexperience. Obsessed that that's happening.
Yeah. I saw another person post Sing About You, which is actually one of my favorite Kendrick songs ever on the Good Kid, M.A.A.D City album. And somebody else like posted like, "Yo, how y'all slept on this record?" I'm like, "The fuck are you talking about, bro? Nobody slept on that record. That album, first of all, that album was Grammy nominated. Like, nobody slept on it. But you're just showing how late you are. You just found out about Kendrick like yesterday, you know? And then Vlad is under pressure. Academics got some charges for rape and assault.
This ain't the first time that that's come up, though. And it sucks to say, but I don't see anything really coming of it.
I think
he has his really insulated audience, and they're not going anywhere.
You know, and I think they'll try to pay her off. You know, I remember when that happened because she posted about it. Because he was like, the academics is on his rant about, this bitch is trying to get money and she fucked my homeboys and da 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 da. And that girl posted. She was like, nah, that's not what happened. He's crying. She was like, that's not what happened. She said, I did get drunk at your house and I woke up to two of your friends all over me. Yeah. And you didn't do shit.
Yeah.
You know, I remember her saying, I'm going to get you. Now I got to tell my story. So we'll see what comes of it. Like I said, audience-wise, probably nothing, but maybe there'll be some legal ramifications, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see with that.
You were going to say something? I feel like you came off. Go ahead.
My fault.
Yeah. I'm glad this is kind of done, to be honest with you.
Me too.
And I will say that it had, it has started to get a little weird. Actually, from both sides.
Absolutely.
From both sides.
Absolutely.
And As someone that doesn't, like, I don't particularly enjoy Kendrick's music, but I don't think it's bad, if that makes sense, right? Like, it's not, after kind of Good Kid, Mad City, I never really, it never quite curled all the way over for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the boy can rap. Like, this ain't, that ain't really no, you know, ain't nobody going to debate that.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. And I think that these guys are both established and they're both, you know, they're ultimately almost 40 years old. Right?
Yeah.
They, you know, been in this game for a very long time and people love who they love and hate who they hate. And it is what it is. But I think more than anything, I think what Kendrick did with that record was he struck a chord with people that were on the fence about Drake. And couldn't quite articulate, you know, exactly what they felt,
mm-hmm.
And I think he really sort of encapsulated that in that record. I do want to say it, you know, again, I don't know, man. The karaoke things started to get a little crazy. The, you know, it was like, oh man, I guess, but okay, you know.
The other thing is what he did. Is Kendrick has never made an actual kind of like West Coast record. He's made like great records, but it's never been like that kind of West Coast anthem. He's never had really had one of those. And they have, the West Coast hasn't had one of those in a while either. So when Not Like Us with, you know, which is like the Mustard production and you know, people can like Crip Walk and all shit to it. That's also what has helped with Pella because now they have, the West Coast now has an anthem, something they can ride to. You know, they haven't had that in a while. So good job by them. You know, good job by them. Have y'all seen Baby Reindeer?
I started watching it,
and I had to bow out. Like, the secondhand embarrassment was, even in, like, the first episode, I don't think I made it through a whole episode. I was like, what the fuck? And I had to
stop. It's a bit of a difficult watch for me. It didn't kind of turn all the way over for me in that first episode. But I can see people's gravitational pull to it. Like I can see why people are watching it.
Yeah, I watched it. It's a tough watch. Some parts is like, God damn, they turned away from the TV type shit. It's an interesting story. It's based on a true story about the guy who plays the main character. I think his real name is Richard Gadd. I forget his name in the movie now. Shit, maybe it's Richard. And his story about how he was harassed. He met this woman in a bar. He was a bartender, and he gave her a free Diet Coke or something. And she just kept coming back every day. And she turned into this stalker. And then he also has an issue with. He meets this guy who's a film producer, and the guy promises to help him, and that turns into like a sexual predatory situation. This is a crazy ass story, man. But the woman who plays the stalker has been kind of outed in that she went on what's his name, Piers Morgan's show, and he interviewed her, and she, you know, she's basically like the character. Like, she lies a lot, she fabricates shit, and you know, she says she barely met the guy.
The actor?
No, the real person.
Oh, I was like, what the
real
fuck?
Person? Yeah, no, the real person went on the show. They found her. And she's out there. And she's trying to sue Piers Morgan. Like, she's really like that character. She's really like a kook. So that's added a whole other layer to it. So I don't know if they're going to do a season two or whatever with all the shit that's going on now. But the show's been mass successful. It's kind of been like a Squid Games kind of thing, like one of those phenomena that Netflix got. It's one of those. So it's made a lot of money. And
year Netflix has a something that just pulls you right the fuck back.
Yep.
And it's like annoying.
It's like, damn, this is the biggest shit in the world.
Did y'all watch the roast of Tom Brady?
I did. I watched about half of it. What'd you think?
Nikki Glaser.
She was crazy. She was amazing.
It's fucking hilarious. Like, this is her niche.
Yep.
Her comedic timing is fantastic. And I forget the other guy's name. I think Indian dude. I can't remember. But he said some really offensive shit. that was, he's in that pocket that I think a lot of comedians try to be in, where they say something really offensive and it's not that funny, but because of who it is, like, you're just like, okay. But and his was like jokes. Offensive and hilarious. And I was like, I respect it.
So Tom came out either yesterday or the day before and said he regrets doing the roast. Even I heard he got paid 25 million. But he got paid 25 million because his kids saw it. Because his kids are older. He don't have no babies. His kids saw it, and Giselle saw it, of course, and she's really pissed off about the things they were saying about her and the kids. And he said he would never do it again, and it's going to force him to be a better parent, think better, and blah 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 blah. But he didn't return that bread.
But, I mean, but that's what roasts are. If you've seen any of these celebrity roasts, like, man, they don't pull no punches. Like,
don't do a roast if you don't want to get embarrassed and shit on, because they're going straight for that.
Don't do a roast and invite Jeff Ross, Kevin Hart, Sam J. Like, these are all comedians that are kind of offensive. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what would you say, Sean? Sorry.
I think he's full of shit, man. Like, I just, like, and here's what I mean by that. His response to his kids seeing this and his kids and his ex-wife being upset drives home why his family life is what it is, right? From the outside looking at it. Like, it is... Like, you cannot operating like a horse with blinders on.
Yeah.
After having gone through such a public divorce, like having gone through such, you know, and I mean, he goes through these really, it's not messy in the sense that like it's all of page six or it's like salacious, but it is messy in that nothing is ever amicable with him. There's always these like very weird things. And to be quite honest, he gets a pass because he's fucking white, right? Like, because we know that he was black and these things were occurring, it would be a way bigger deal. But aside from that, I just think it's like, bro, to sit here and tell us that you didn't know or you didn't, like, you knew, you fucking knew. You didn't give a fuck.
You didn't give a fuck.
Right? You didn't give a fuck because, you know why you didn't give a fuck? Because you knew that you would not have to sit there and explain that shit to your kids. Because you do not have the kind of position, you do not have the kind of role that allows you to be the person in question. Like, you didn't have to answer to her. You didn't have to answer. And listen, aside from a divorce, right, that's still the mother of your children. That's still your ex-wife, right? There still has to be some measure of trying to make a reasonably comfortable environment for you guys to coexist. And I'm just not sure how you didn't foresee. Like, you could do all of these things. You could be the greatest of all time. You watch all the film. You could read the defense in 1.2 seconds. You could do all that shit. You couldn't foresee that somebody ragging on your wife and kids would make them feel uncomfortable. Like, it's bullshit, bro. It's bullshit.
You just wanted to do that.
Bet this. Bet he would have felt the way if those were teammates. Right? He would have foreseen that being an issue if those were teammates. Yeah. Or if that was a motherfucker that had to protect his blind side, you didn't have snot bubbles coming out of his fucking nose.
Then would have a problem. Yeah.
I also learned from that what white people think is fine and what we think is fine, like as far as like sexy and attractive, is vastly different. Tom Brady is not that fine.
It was going crazy on him. He was the best looking man ever. It was going
crazy. Are y'all okay? Like... They he's just, all right. He's shit not
is,
like...
Shit is different. It's just different.
He ain't no young John Bon Jovi. This nigga is all right.
Hey, so I wanted to ask y'all... first of all, pause to this, too. It's been a whole bunch of pause-worthy shit. I just haven't really said anything in this show. Pause to Eddie Winslow. I forget his... What's his nigga's real name? Darius McCray? Because he's got a OnlyFans porn video out with Sydney Starr, who's a transsexual woman, I guess you would say, politically correctly. And I'm like, bro, what's happening, bro? you desire who you desire, you know, to each his or her own. but I'm not getting to publicly put that shit out there. And it's all over like Twitter, like this is posted to Twitter. And I'm like, you know, and Sydney Starr posted it. She said, "You want to see me have sex with Eddie Winslow?" She didn't even use his real name. She used his Family Matters name. I'm like, what's happening? The world is really going bonkers, man. Like, there's nothing to hide. I sound like the old nigga, but ain't nobody got no shame. Everybody's just going for this, bro. No,
I think niggas got. I think what happens, man, is like it's hard being broke out here, bro. And I don't mean that in like, I don't mean, it's killing me, but I don't mean that in a disparaging way as much as like the reality is like that nigga's not going to Target. Yeah, that nigga's not going to apply, you know, he's not putting in an application to, you know, work for FedEx.
Yeah.
Like, it's not.
Why not? Elwin from The Cosby Show was at Trader Joe's living a great life.
And to be honest with you, he probably had more access to employment because of his education, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? So, and took that job for flexibility more than anything. But I think that what ends up happening is like, a lot of those folks don't really know what it is to have a job. Remember, he's a child star.
Yeah.
He never had the bag groceries.
Yeah, he never had to go
and, kid. You know what I'm saying? He never had to go and hustle with the shovel in the wintertime to get a winter coat. And again, let me be clear. I'm completely talking shit in terms of I don't know his financial situation. Well, what I'm saying is like the fact that everything, and this has got nothing to do with whether or not he desires Sydney Starr. The thing is like everything is done for content, for consumption, for money. And that's what we just need to acknowledge. I'm saying, let's just kind of deal with the elephant in the room with that shit right there. Like, because that's really what this is about. Like, you could have been fucking with her for whenever, however long. Nobody, we were all none the wiser.
Yeah.
You put it on OnlyFans because that's what it's a point. It's an adult site, right? And you go there and you pay and you're telling people to come pay and watch you have sex with this very famous transgender woman. Yeah. Like, I don't know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that has to be easier than lifting boxes for $14.50 an hour.
It's jarring to see someone go from famous or black famous to now sex work, number one. Number two, trans women are women. So I'm not even addressing that.
But,
And if I said anything that was, out of line, that was completely unintentional because I don't have, you know, this is, like I said, who he's having sex with is indifferent to me. Yeah. It's the idea that he has gone to this, you know, portion of the program, right? Like, because particularly because he's a man of a certain age also, right? Like, he is not, you know, he's not a fucking 30-year-old man, right?
No.
Like, so I have to...
The only one of those Family Matters kids that came out relatively unscathed was Laura.
Yeah, Laura's like
Myra died. Judy was on a show about rehab because she was addicted to weed. That was the rehab show she was on.
And she did little nudes and all that shit too. I don't think she had sex on tape, but you know, she did some stuff.
Yeah. Steve Urkel has recently come out as wildly anti-black.
Which is wild.
Married a white woman, sure. I'm not gonna comment on her looks, but you didn't marry her because you wasn't getting no play from black women. You wasn't getting no play from black women because you was a nerd in real life and not the good kind.
He said y'all wasn't giving me no play in the 90s.
Well, a fucking lie.
And the girl he tried with, they only wanted the thugs and the drug dealers,
I want to say this too. I want to say this too. Like, okay, There's a couple things here with that. We're gonna jump from Darius. And listen, let me just
say the piece of Darius, man. You know,
God bless. I'm not surprised.
Peace to him. Peace to him. God bless. But you do gotta understand that seeing somebody that goes from, you know, where he was to literally performing sex acts for money is just a jarring thing, particularly at this age. It's not like a nigga had a porn career, retired, and then is coming back.
So
I saw the post about Jaleel, and I think what I wanted to address is like there's this elephant in the room where, like, when people say that, one, oh, she was only interested in thugs and drug dealers, it's like, one, there's like this idea that drug dealers and thugs are all like ugly and not charismatic
and not mean, and beat the shit out of people.
You know what I'm saying?
And like, also, they treat you so nicely.
I never had a problem. And more than anything, this isn't about access to women, Black women in particular, right? This is about access to a very specific subset of women that he wanted to have access
exactly.
to. And that he thought he should be entitled to.
Get the show.
And to be quite frank, my nigga, like, it doesn't matter whether, like, some people, man, you just out your league, bro. Like, you're not playing on the same playground.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even if you got bread and all that shit, it's a whole other thing. You know what I'm saying?
Like, bro, you could be a lot of different things, right? And maybe you trying to hang out with Kim Kardashian, right? Like, nigga, there's a certain type of dude that she's gonna fuck with.
Yeah, okay? certain level.
And she's not going, and she's probably never gonna shit on you or say, you know. Women are generally, they're nice.
Yeah, she'll let them down easy.
They'll try to let you down easy, and probably I would probably anticipate that he was probably trying to, you know, holler at somebody that was a little older, a little more, you know, out of his sphere.
Like a Lisa Ray type. It's like.
Like,
bro,
you ain't built for that, bro. Like,
yeah, that's a whole lot, bro.
There's a certain that's a perfect example. That's a woman that is very clear and intentional about the type of motherfuckers that she's going to deal with. And if you ain't listen, nigga, you got the Nicole Murphy, nigga, you got the. There's a price of admission here.
Exactly.
There's a base price. And then there's add-ons, nigga.
Exactly.
And
I'm not saying that like it's a la carte, my nigga. Like, and she's
like, nigga,
the prices like, to get your resume looked at, it's going to cost. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying, like, you don't have that thing. And to be quite honest with you, a lot of that shit has to do with your charisma. It's not always your looks. A lot of that shit is just like, nigga, do you work the room? Do you own the room, nigga? Do you come in? That shit is something that tickles a woman's fancy, you know.
That is why there is no English word for je ne sais quoi, because
you gotta have that shit. You ain't got that. You ain't got that shit, my nigga.
And that's cool, nigga. And that's cool. Like, go get you a. Nigga. Badass lawyers there and doctors.
Just say him and the woman he married are equally yoked in the looks and awkwardness department. Got who you were supposed to get, nigga.
You gotta find, and that's the thing, man. You gotta find, like, listen, there's people talk about the animes, people used to, them nerds is getting ass, bro. It ain't like, stop.
I married a Marvel nerd. We got the shield and everything out for this motherfucker.
Niggas be having figurines and lightsabers and shit. And they be fucking, bro.
They be fucking.
It's a specific type of chick he wanted. And he couldn't get that. He wanted what Eddie Murphy and them was getting. And nigga, you just wasn't.
He wanted it. Yeah. And then, like, come on, bro. Like, and here's
okay.
And here's what the last thing I'll say is, He was using basically what Peppa said as the basis of that post.
He was too nice.
Well, she, you know, and what she was doing was she was talking about Will.
Yeah, Will, yeah. Who was fucking crazy, by the way.
Right? Never had a shortage. Never had a shortage of ass, right? Never. Let's be clear. Will is also very charismatic.
Yeah, Will Smith.
Will is very charismatic. He's 6'2", and he works the room.
He's fine as
and
hell.
And he's a handsome dude, right? So we can, let's we put that.
Yeah, that's the mad. Yeah, Pebble
just. Steve really, and Will but, are just but Pebble, not even in the same was, species.
What she was saying was how I think she was referencing how Will was just for her at that age, at that time in her life, that was just not the speed she was trying to be with.
She was and fucking with creepy niggas and shit like that.
She was fucking with real live killers, nigga. Not playway killers. Yeah. Not niggas that might be on the fringe. She was fucking with real, like, so that world and that sphere is where she was sort of hovering around. So, yeah, you know what I'm saying? She's one of the unique people that can, you can take her to, you know, a function at the man's ball. And she gonna be perfectly fine in a fucking hole in the wall club where niggas is laundering money. Yeah, she's gonna be okay in the environment. And
Roman Dice in the corner. And she's
nice
good.
Game in the back, nigga. She's not stressing that, yeah. Nigga.
Laundering get out the money car. Is fucking hilarious.
You get out the car, nigga. She know to get in the driver's seat. Right? She moves different. She from a different era. She from a different space. She from a different time.
Yeah. Yeah. So peace to him. I also wanted to mention Oh, did y'all see about Howard's graduation, Howard University? So apparently
yep, and I got questions.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk about Howard first and we can go into FAMU right from there since we're talking black schools. So Howard had their graduation, I think it was about a week ago or so. And I don't know why I didn't get that much detail, but like it was extremely overcrowded to like where like there was like maybe you know a few hundred people at least, if not more, that just couldn't get in. They just standing outside, like there was no more room for nobody. And I don't know why it got that far out of hand. Is it that much family? I mean, because you know, I know graduating classes vary year to year, but then they don't vary that much. One year might be, you know, 1,500, one year might be 1,300, one year might be 1,700. It don't go from 1,000 to 4,000. It doesn't do that. So, but it was just a chaotic thing, and a lot of people obviously complaining because they didn't get to see their people across stage and blah, 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 blah.
Right. The thing that I have a question about is why we treat HBCUs like they're high schools or something. In the DC area, we have mad arenas, stadiums, sports teams that have houses that hold hundreds of thousands of people. Mm-hmm. If you go to like a graduation for like GW or
Georgetown,
that's going to be in a stadium. That's going to be in, you know, the Capitol Center or whatever it's called now. Howard, as big a school as that is graduating from like a field house.
Yeah.
And it feels like they don't think this graduation is worthy of that kind of like schedule shifting, that funding for the police to keep the traffic moving, that kind of thing. Like I think it's absolutely ridiculous to have somebody attend an institution for 5 years and you give them 2 tickets.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. Because more than 2 motherfuckers helped me get to this point.
Absolutely.
And it's absolutely racism that they cannot use a different facility. So then we're in a position where the school has to treat people like they're infringing upon this ceremony.
Well, like they're invading the ceremony as opposed to coming.
It's fucked up and we can see it.
I got questions.
Okay.
Because somebody got to take attendance. Okay. You got to know. So either you guys had a place that was too small or you let too many motherfuckers in that didn't have tickets. It's one of the two.
Yeah.
It's got to be one of the two. So my thing is, okay, if you have And this is the thing about having, obviously this is a university, right? So you're going to have a much larger class than say a traditional four-year college, because you have university grads as well, right? And so my thing is, it's like, this is a fairly easy concept, which is the capacity is 2,000. If we have this many students with two tickets, we know we can't fit them in this building. Yeah. Or you were letting people inside that did not have tickets.
Yeah.
It can't. And so for me, what really bothered me was like, for, I don't know who it was exactly in the ceremony, but for someone to get up there and say, because people don't know how to act.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that lady. That was whack.
That was real. Like, I wasn't there. I didn't have anyone graduating there. But when I tell you that shit grated on me.
Yeah, man.
That shit grated on me it was a dog whistle, like a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. It was
really upsetting. Really,
that rubbed me the wrong way more than anything else.
Black lady said to a bunch of black people who are there to celebrate whoever's graduating, son, daughter, niece, nephew, whatever, and to say, because y'all don't know how to act, now they got to shut us down. It was like, damn, that's fucked up, man. Like, nobody. There was ruckus. It was ruckus just because, like you said, it was one of the two reasons. Either you only have enough tickets or you let three people in. And people were there to celebrate somebody graduating. Wasn't nobody trying to fight?
That's what I was bothered by. Mm-hmm. The idea that people were being disruptive in this sort of negative way when the reality is that you're shifting this. So she made it seem like it was the behavior that made the fire marshal shut them down. Mm-hmm. When in fact, you were overcrowded because you simply did not do your job. You either did not prepare to be at a big enough venue, or B, your people that were standing there guiding at the tickets did not adhere to the ticket minimum, or mm-hmm. the ticket maximum, I should say. So, mm-hmm. Howard, listen, they have to bear some burden as what I like to call the big five, right? Like they're like five really big
HBCUs. Yeah.
That really sort of carry the load in terms of perception.
Mm-hmm.
And if Howard is looking to be the pinnacle of that perception, then you guys gotta operate with a better system than that, particularly for a school with a significantly large endowment. Like, you guys are not. You ain't Morris Brown, bro.
You ain't doing bake sales for money.
yeah, like let's be very, very clear about I think their endowment might be either $850 to like $900 million. So this is not a broke school by any stretch of the imagination. So
you and would think, right, Inca, by the way, that they treat students.
Yeah,
remember a couple years they didn't even have dorms available this year. This year, this senior year, this scholastic year.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Let's try the family. We in the dog HBCU. I still call them black colleges. I guess the political direct term is HBCU. We in the HBCU. What the hell y'all doing segment of the probably about because fam,
let's be clear, because I HBCUs, we love them. I went to one.
I went to one. Shit,
for sure. Yeah, y'all can do better. That's all.
And you paid them.
I've cut more than enough checks to have my fucking say. Goddamn,
you know, just hating from inside the house. So, FAMU, Florida A&M University, is in a big scandal because they basically got rooked by this cat who sold them worthless stock that they thought was worth nine figures. Come find out, it's worth nothing. Like, literally, not even pennies. It's worth nothing. Bro, I think you know more about this story than I do. Is the guy, has he been charged? Is he in jail? Did he get caught? Has he disappeared? You know, what happened exactly? You know?
I haven't seen anything about him being
me either.
Charged, and I frankly, he didn't do anything illegal.
He
didn't do anything illegal, right? Technically, like, when you really look at this from a technical standpoint, it's like, you know, he didn't sell them anything. He donated these stocks. So basically what happened was, and apparently he had done this before to another smaller school out in Texas, another HBCU, where he allegedly donated like $90 million worth of stock. Mm. And that deal sort of got pulled back and it fell through. He then donated $239 million worth of stock, with a plan to donate another $61 million over the next 10 years. So in total, the perception was that his gift was worth $400 million. I'm sorry. Yes, it was $300
million. $300 million, yeah.
Yeah, $300 million. The reality is that he did not donate any cash. There was no liquidity that he donated. What he did was he donated 14 million stock to the school. Now, it is not uncommon for someone to donate stocks to schools.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, what they do is, I assume that they would liquidate the stock, right? Because the stock would have an actual tangible value. What he listed was what is called intrinsic value. And that's a very fancy word for it ain't worth shit. I'm hoping it's going to be worth it. Yes. Right. But the reality is that it's basically worthless stock. And this was not a publicly traded company. So this was not a stock. This is not a stock that had a number. Mm. This was something that he was donating. If you do the most basic of Google searches, and if you have the most basic foundation concepts and understandings of how money works, there should have been several red flags that went off. I didn't want to be that guy, but when I saw the picture, I was like, $239 million, huh?
From this nigga?
With no lineup, nigga? Like, this nigga ain't got no lineup, and yeah. I know a Ross TJ Maxx outfit when I see it, nigga. Yeah. I'm like,
you thought this nigga for them.
I said, maybe he's eclectic, maybe he's one of those, you know, recluse weirdos that we don't know about. So, you know, you go down a bit of a Google rabbit hole, and literally, do within a few minutes, you can tell, right? Because usually companies that are generating that kind of money, that are funding trusts, that he made the donation under a trust.
Mm.
Usually, you know, when you're transferring stocks like that, there should be some measure of paper trail and some ability for you to see how that's moving the market, right? $239 million. Forget the 61, right? But $239 million is a substantial amount of stock for you to donate. And also, it's a substantial amount of stock to be in a privately owned company. And so when you go to his website, it's like, dude is selling like hemp tree lumber and hemp tree. This is not at all an indication of a highly functional workspace, right? This is not a guy with, you know, 5 locations, you know, 10 offices, annex offices, you know, he's employing, you know, 2,500 people. You know, this is not that kind of operation. This looks very, very mom and pop. Very mom and pop, right? And so I think what this does is it highlights how these institutions are struggling financially.
Mm-hmm.
And any idea that there is a windfall for them,
they with it.
It makes people sort of, you know, throw out their intuition. It makes people throw out, you know, their spidey senses. And the reality is that what this does, in my opinion, is it really hurts that school, because they have a very proud alum. They seem to have a very on top of it board. Damn. And it seems like this was passed because they signed NDAs, so they couldn't tell all of the board members, which, again, that's a red flag. An NDA that is telling me that I cannot tell the people who I have a fiduciary responsibility to. This mm-hmm. is the part that you have to remember. When you are part of a board, right, particularly a foundation of a school, you have a fiduciary responsibility. They are entrusting you, i.e. trustee, they're entrusting you to do your due diligence, to be on top yes. of this and act in the best interest of the school. So now that this has happened, you know, unfortunately, man, they might be looking at significant issues, because you might be looking at audits.
Yeah.
If I'm a trustee, or if I'm, you know, if I'm a part of that, I want a full fucking audit.
Yeah. For the last. But what else might have happened in the?
What else is going on that has yeah. been swept under the rug or covered up or moved around to cover up these things that we're not aware of? And again, it highlights and puts us in the kind of position where we, quite frankly, look incompetent.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That has made its way to the news, bro. He was a commencement speaker, right? This is not Morehouse and Robert Smith, where Robert Smith had a 25-year history
yeah.
of being in tech. He has, you know what I'm saying? This is a very, this is verifiable shit. And might I add, he actually has paid off all of those, you know, he's made good on those
on the promises, yeah.
All of those promises have been paid off, because wow. he actually, and think about that. He is a multi-billionaire, and his donation was roughly in the $40 million range.
Yeah, and this nigga talking about $239 million
is that is just a wild number.
Yeah,
right. It's a wild number, bro. So there should have been a ton of checks and balances. I'm not sure how they signed off on that. This also signifies that there may have been a few folks on the board that may have been asleep at the wheel.
Yeah. Maybe a couple of them on the take, too. Like, bro, you push this through.
Not checking their emails, not being... And it may not be nefarious. It just may be they're cruising, right? Like, I would like to think that, you know, what he did technically was not fraud. I don't see anything that he did that would rise to the illegal thing, but he's definitely got the smear of being a fraud, you know, being a fraud.
He's shady.
Yeah, he's definitely that. And again, I didn't want to be that guy, but it felt very, he looked like a con man. He looked like, but I'm from Brooklyn, and I don't trust a lot of them.
Yeah, I don't trust none of them.
I don't trust, I'd be telling them, no, let me come see your office, nigga. Where's your office?
let me see your operation.
Where's your footprint? Because to have an operation that can afford $240 million of a donation, you should have a footprint on your industry, on your market, you should be significant. You telling me the Griot and Essence, and ain't nobody done a piece on you?
Yeah, nobody.
Nobody, nigga? We can't get
You ain't sat there with Mount Lamont Hill and none of these niggas ever.
Nobody, nigga. You don't know Judge Mathis, nigga. You gotta know.
you ain't been on vacation with Magic Johnson.
You ain't been on vacation with Magic Johnson, nigga. You a fraud, nigga.
You a fraud, nigga. You ain't got it like that.
You ain't got it like that. You fraud, nigga. You don't know Sam and Denzel and them, nigga.
Word. You don't know LL and his wife? Fuck out of here.
You don't be with the real niggas, bro.
Oh, shit. So we're going to end it with the Black Twitter documentary on Hulu. Came out last week. And it's a two-parter. And they do a pretty comprehensive... Prentice Penny directed it. And I think produced as well. He's a guy who wrote, was a co-writer and creator of...
Showrunner.
Yeah, showrunner of Insecure. He worked on Girlfriends. He's worked on several TV shows over the years.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah, he's done. He's legit. He's a very legit dude. And they just talk about the history of Black Twitter, not Twitter, but Black Twitter. How it kind of came to be, how it affected culture and obviously social media, and how it kind of has petered out, I guess, in a sense. There are a lot of people, a couple of people on it that I knew, including obviously Naima, and a couple of people I've never met but know via Twitter. And that was kind of like the thing, like so many people know each other via this platform, but I've never really met in real life, you know, because you know, people obviously live all across the country, all across the world. So that was interesting to see people like, oh, that's so-and-so, that's what she looked like, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I thought it was good. I hate to be this nigga. I would have liked one more part. I think it was a lot of things that they didn't cover, but you can't cover everything, and I get that. They talked about, you know, how it really came together twice, one during civil rights unrest, like Mike Brown and
Trayvon Martin
and stuff like that happened. And then later on, it kind of came back together again during the pandemic via Versus. And people kind of watching Versus and doing the commentary. And they talked about how it helped propel Scandal, TV show Scandal, because we were all like tweeting. It was like the live tweeting as these shows or these events are happening, how people are like tweeting live about what's going on and all that stuff.
It truly made us forget how ridiculous that show was.
It was ridiculous. First of all, like... I get it, but there's just the fact that the stuff that she would wear every day, it's like, how are you, it's too much. Like, you look like you're in Vogue magazine every day. Just go, like, you know what I'm saying? But it was a ridiculous show, but we all loved it. I thought they were going to mention How to Get Away with Murder, because that helped too, because obviously that was the follow that came on right afterwards. And that the tweets helped that propel that show as well. But they didn't mention that. But,
I think it's important to mention Scandal because ABC had, even though they, you know, greenlit it and produced it and did all this stuff, they had kind of written it off as a non-starter until they saw that it was, you know, that we had our own hashtag for it and people were watching every single week and tweeting every single week, tweeting it live, which kind of propelled it and, you know, got the word out because they stopped advertising it like mid-season. I don't know if you remember this, but was a big deal because she was, you know, the first Black woman in however many decades to have to star on primetime in her own show. And it wasn't, the white audience kind of didn't give a fuck.
You didn't really
but
care.
Because we're like, you know, this is, it's ridiculous and improbable and all these things, but this is our girl and we're going to keep watching it. And we love salacious shit just as much as the next person. So, we gonna live tweet it, and we actually enjoyed it. It was really authentic. So I think it was important to mention that show because by the time How to Get Away with Murder came around, like we had already cemented Thursday night as like,
kind of like established
this it. Is where we're gonna be. Yeah,
yeah, with Shonda Rhimes, like those are her
Shonda night. Rhimes.
Shonda Rhimes.
She had Grey's Anatomy starting at 8, Scandal was 9, and then
Violet How to Get Away at 10.
Yeah. How to Get Away was at 10. Yeah. Yeah. So, she's going up against the, what's it called? The Law and Order Night.
NBC.
I thought the doc was good. I think it was as comprehensive as it could have been. Just because it had so much history to cover. Like, we're in over a decade at this point. 2008 to now?
Yeah.
In 3 hours is a lot. I like Prentice Penny. He's on Black Twitter with all of us.
Yeah, he's right.
I think people who have been here since the beginning, like all of us, probably look at the doc really favorably. Anybody who joined once some shit started happening and like Black Twitter was a thing is going to feel differently about it because they have a different experience than we did. But they were, I thought it was cool.
They, like Kendrick said, they're not like us. They wasn't there from the beginning.
They're not like us. Exactly.
What'd you think, Sean?
I didn't watch it. I didn't have a this isn't me being anti or me being like, get off my lawn or no shit like that. I didn't have the desire to watch it because I'm on the Twitter. So it wasn't like I didn't, and maybe I'll watch this a couple years from now. I'm not sure, but I'm still active on Twitter, so I still follow this stuff. So I didn't really feel this incredible desire to kind of go down that rabbit hole. But I'm glad. One of the things I am glad about, I'm glad that we're sort of capturing this, and this doc was made, because, you know, shit, in 5 years, Twitter might not exist.
Yeah, my name
might not exist.
Yeah.
So this is a great way to sort of encapsulate these moments, like you said, the live tweeting and how that impacted how we consume television. Mm-hmm. The civil unrest that we had, the pandemic, and how all of those things sort of, for a lot of people, and I think that this, probably isn't lost now, but for a lot of people, man, Twitter got them through the pandemic.
Yeah. Rough spots. So people were home alone.
People were home alone for long periods of time.
And
I know they like to get on the Twitters and tell people how they don't fuck with nobody and they good and they could be in their house for weeks and weeks and weeks at a time. But what we saw was a lot of motherfuckers on Twitter for hours on end, right? Like, and engaging, because this is ultimately where your friends were.
Yep.
Right. And so they would come in first and, get their thoughts. So I think it's cool. I just didn't have a personal desire to watch it, but it wasn't anti anything as much as it was just not something that tickled my, made me say, oh, I want to go watch this.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Like I said, one day I'm sure you'll watch it. It's pretty good. I said, because it's kind of timeless. It's just not like you have to watch it like today to understand what's going on. You can say, I'm glad it got done. Like I said, because who knows with your man Leon, where Twitter's going to be? Shit, this time next year, let alone 5 years from now. So it was good to kind of put the pen to the paper now while it was still fresh and new. I feel like I'm skipping over a whole lot of parts in the doc, like the other things that they kind of covered in the documentary. But, it's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah. I think regarding, especially the civil unrest and police violence awareness that I think we all got, and the fact that we kind of moved the needle in talking about Trayvon Martin, because they weren't even going to charge George Zimmerman.
Nope.
And I mean, I know we all know he got acquitted and that kind of that happened, which sucked. But the fact that it brought attention to these stand your ground laws and just how unjust gun policy is in America.
Yeah.
Especially when you're black. So
of course they mentioned George Floyd too, and how Twitter helped with that movement, which went in a better direction because he was convicted and he talked about all that stuff. And it was dope. It was dope. So I think that's it. I think that's all we got for this week or this month or this whatever.
Probably will be more consistent.
Time period.
Hopefully they'll add another episode in a year or two where they actually talk about how these niggas ripped off money from
people. They did not cover that part.
But of course not, because we're going to have some uncomfortable conversations with people that we might like and be friends with.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, we follow on Twitter. Yeah. Meanwhile, these niggas are Malibu chilling. Ain't heard for none of them either.
Ain't heard, as old folks say, ain't heard hide nor hair.
Quiet as a church mouse. Y'all got anything before we go?
I want y'all to know y'all's niece is going to be 7. On Sunday.
Damn, what y'all doing?
Wow.
She's not really into parties and shit, but we're gonna do a little special stuff for her.
Some. Yeah, that's cool.
We're gonna make a little yellow chocolate cake. Get that baby some yellow chocolate cake.
Yellow cake with the chocolate icing.
Yeah, she's gonna blow out the candles. Absolutely.
You better have the Neapolitan ice cream too. Vanilla, chocolate, strawberry.
In a carton.
A carton with no actual strawberries in it. It's just pink bomb.
Then they break your wrist, trying to make your wrist try to poop that shit out. It's so hard.
It's about to be seven. That shit is trippy.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Wow.
Also, happy birthday. Happy birthday, Ivy. I got my, I just want to mention a little bit of preventive maintenance. I got my routine mammogram in April. Okay. They saw some weird shit and referred me to like the breast center at Walter Reed, which is like a very scary sentence to even hear.
Yeah, that's a hospital though.
Yeah, it's like, please send me to Walter Reed for everything. I'm down.
That's where the president goes when he's, yeah.
Absolutely. They do give excellent care, even though that parking garage is closed and it fucking sucks. But I will say it was super scary getting that call and being like, hey, we need more images. Like, we want to make sure everything's okay. But I went, got my extra images. Doctor was like, hey, a bunch of abnormal shit happens to women your age. You're within that normal range. You're all clear. Everything's good. So just like make your appointments. Might be scary. Go get your shit checked out. When you get older, when you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, like people are literally dying out here.
Literally.
They're not going for the routine ass oil change ass maintenance that you could be doing. But like, even though it's, I've been a ball of anxiety for like 5 weeks since they told me, but it felt very adult and very good to know that I'm all like clear. So
good to go. Yeah, you're going to be
good to go. Go get your fucking prostate exam and mammograms.
Go get your shit tickled.
Go get your shit looked at, man.
So I call for the old man exam. And like, when I tell you, it's like impossible to get a fucking doctor's appointment. Like, it is mind blowing that when you call for a doctor now, it's like, yeah, well, we could see you in like late June.
He was seeing August.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Mm-hmm. That you got? Listen, I don't expect to be able to walk in tomorrow, but goddamn, like that's a crazy thing for me to even process. If you're booking people out sick, and I'm calling medical places, right, where there are five doctors. Right. Doing, you know what I'm saying? There are five urologists in this location. They're like, nobody, nigga, nobody. What are they working, a day a week? What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, what it is, a lot of niggas
stop
taking insurance, too. That's the thing. Insurance is making it so difficult for providers to get paid that they are writing off whole sectors. Like, we no longer take Blue Cross. We no longer take TRICARE. We no longer take whatever, whatever. Just because they're making it so hard for doctors to get paid. And so, and also, urgent cares are popping up. And there might be two doctors on staff there. They're making crazy money because a lot of times you're just paying out of pocket for very short, very innocuous, like, visits. Why would I get all involved in practice and have to hire coders and billers and all this when I could just get you to pay me at the center and work 9 to 6 a couple of days a week. So,
emergent cares is everywhere. I remember during the pandemic, there was one, a city MD up the hill from me, and the motherfuckers, the line would be like a club.
Yeah.
Especially stuff like that. Nobody wanted to go to a hospital because the thing was, like, it felt like you go to a hospital, you might not come back out. But people would go to the stuff, you know. So that is a factor. Like you said, it's a lot easier to get paid that way, you know.
Shit is wild. Oh, I want to mention one more thing. Maryland had their primaries yesterday.
Oh yeah, saw that.
So the Democratic nominee is for the U.S. Senate is Angela Alsobrooks, who I voted for and I'm obsessed. She beat out David Trone, and it was like a really hard won race. He put in like 60 M's of his own money to like kind of go up against Hogan, who is the former governor who is running for U.S. Senate now. But she won. So Maryland is in a position to have a Black governor, Black Senate representation, Black Mayor Baltimore. Like, it's looking good. We have a lot of Black representatives. Maryland, blue state. I'm really excited people came out and voted. Not for the nigga who says jigaboo and doesn't mean it. So
I found out via TikTok, of course, that the woman who lost to the mayor is Juan Dixon's aunt.
Sheila Dixon, yes.
Yes, it's auntie. So
yes. Who was previously disgraced in Baltimore for embezzlement.
Yeah.
Why would you run again? What's wrong with you?
Thinking you was going to win.
So, yeah.
Anyway, so that's it. I'm going to wrap it up on that. I guess Nye will be back on the next episode. Yeah, and y'all have a good Memorial Day.
God damn it. May 15th.
We might not be back before then. Just in case. If we get back before then, that's cool. But just in case.
We'll do our best.
We'll do our best, exactly. All right, y'all. Be safe.